Well, firstly, could I say thank you for what you do for us. And you do a lot for us. And I know that, and Stanley knows that. So we want to thank you. And we want to say don't stop either. But you make such a difference, really, in the lives of a lot of people. So thank you so much for what you do. I have a brother, you know, and he's one of those wee Belfast boys, you know. He'd fight with anybody. And he's the chairman of the West Belfast Northern Ireland Supporters Club. And he started it. And before he started that, he was involved in something else. And then he's involved in a political party, and he always wants to be involved in something, you know. He always wants to be part of something. And I always say to him, you know, you're never satisfied anything you're involved in. It never satisfies you. And he says to me, you know, I'm thinking of becoming a Muslim, will I? Because he knows he can wind me up, and he says things like that, you know. He always wants to be part of something. And that passage that I read to you, we have read it before, and it's tremendous words of encouragement for Christians. But I read from verse 9, it says there in verse 9, after this, I saw a great multitude that no man could number. And what went before is a list of the tribes and the different tribes of Israel and how many thousand? It comes up to 144,000. And then it says, after this, there's a great crowd you can't even count. And it's reminding, what John's doing is reminding the Christians that they're part of something that goes back through history. That's what he's doing. He's reminding them that they're part of something bigger and greater, and that has foundations in history and goes right back to the nation and the apostles and the foundation of the tribes and the prophets and the apostles. They're part of something greater and bigger, because they were in a lot of trouble and they needed encouragement. And he's doing that. He's encouraging them by reminding them that there's something bigger that they're involved in, something that goes back in history. Not something new. It has its origins in God, and they're part of it. And so are you. You're part of something bigger, something greater. You're maybe part of this congregation, but you're part of something bigger than that. You're part of a community that has its origins in God and goes right back through history, and you're connected to all those people. It's a little bit like, isn't it, when people bring out photo albums and they show old photographs. There's some old photographs there in the minister's room, right back to 1875. And they're a serious looking bunch in 1875. And people bring them out and they say, that's my grandmother and my grandfather. And they show their history and their family tree, and we're part of something bigger. We're connected to all of these people, and we're connected to the apostles and the prophets and right back through history, and all of it finds its origins in God. You see, as a Christian, you might feel that you're not part of anything that's great at all. And society is moving on without the church now, and We're on the margins and on the edge of everything. And we're not important anymore. But we are part of something tremendous. Something greater than any man-made organization or initiative. We are part of the family of God. And we are part of the plan of God. We're not just sitting doing nothing. We're part of the purposes of God. We're involved in achieving something in the purposes of God. If we say we know and love the Lord. But also in that passage, it says there's a great multitude that no one could number. So big is the thing that we're involved in, and the amount of people involved, that we can't count them. Now, that's a problem too today, isn't it? That people are discouraged because fewer and fewer and people will come to meetings like this and be involved in things like this and activities that propagate the gospel. And they're afraid of declining numbers and people drifting away. But here in this passage, we're reminded that there's so many people involved in the kingdom of God that you can't count them. You know, when Stanley and myself went over to the little hall in Kimberley Street, there was maybe 10 people that attended it. And whenever I give my testimony, two of them left and haven't come back. But a lot of new people have come. And the people who have been there for maybe 60, 70 years, 80 years, in that little hall, praying and asking God for help and encouragement. And now they've seen this growth and expansion of people who come along to the meeting. And lots of them, those new people, are from every kindred, nation, and tongue. Maybe one or two new people from Belfast, but mostly from countries in the world that we probably couldn't even find on the map sometimes. Everywhere in the world, every nation, kindred, and tongue. And they're there meeting in that place and interested, some of them, to such a degree that they'll complain if they can't get along to the meeting. And one woman, a Muslim woman from Nigeria, she said, you know, someone needs to come and get me because I'm losing out and my children are losing out by not being here every week. Look, she said, everybody's here all the time and no one's coming to collect me and bring me to the meeting. A Muslim woman from Nigeria. And that woman, apparently she hasn't told us, me or Stanley, but she told a man there a couple of weeks ago that she has become a Christian. Just by coming along on a Sunday night and hearing the gospel. There's a great multitude that nobody can count. We shouldn't be discouraged by the ridicule of the world, and they'll say, your numbers are declining, you have to do something, and you have to be more flexible with your message and change your message. It's driving people out of the place. There's a great multitude that nobody can count involved in this business of the kingdom of God. So don't be tempted as a Christian to despair and give up and lose hope. You're part of something greater. Something bigger. I wonder, could I ask you, Christian, do you feel like that? Do you feel as if you're involved in a cause that's so great, so tremendous, so worthwhile, that nothing else compares to it. And that you want to give all your energy and resources and time to the furtherance of this cause, the cause of Christ. I wonder, do you feel like that? Or is it a little bit like a hobby? You know, that's what I say to my brother. You have too many hobbies, you know. It's a little bit like a hobby. You put your resources into it as long as you can feel that you're getting more out of it than you're putting into it. People treat Christianity and their faith like that, like a hobby. It's not serious, really. Time's just doing enough to get by. Every week now we go out round the doors, the weather's a little bit better, and the people who go out knocking the doors with us, they're not from Belfast either. There's two Iranian men, there's a boy from Egypt comes, and two Nigerians and me out knocking doors in Balnafai, talking to people about Jesus Christ. One of the men, he doesn't speak very good English, and he's trying his best, you know, to improve his English. But he says, even though he can't maybe speak to people on the doors, he says the track, it'll speak to them. It'll say something to them. So he's keen, and I'd pick him up, and then he'd walk home across the city. He lives in the Falls Road, and that's the house that they put him in. There's no option really where he wants to live, but he'll do that so that he can share the gospel with people, tell people about Jesus Christ. He sees that as really important, more important than anything. His wife, she's still a Muslim woman, and she saying the other day, you know, I'm studying all the time, and we had a great talk with her there in the little hall. And then her husband, he told me the next day, he said, when we got home, we talked about the Bible all night. I talked to her all night about the Bible. Because he wants her to know what he knows. He feels it's important. Christian, do you feel it's important? This cause that we're aligned to, the cause of Jesus Christ. It says in that passage too, you know, this great multitude that nobody can count. They're in heaven because they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Or they're converted. They've come and embraced Christ. They've been saved. And because of that, therefore it says, it's saying to us, because of that, they're in heaven. It's the power of the gospel that will change people. That's the only thing that will convert people. Nothing else will change them except the gospel. And in the situation we're in, sometimes when people feel that they need to do something, instead of action, they get down to discussion. Presbyterians are a bit like that, aren't they? And I'm a Presbyterian, so I can say that. We don't let other people criticize us, but we can criticize ourselves, okay. When there's something that needs to be done, instead of getting down to action, we get down to discussion. But we need to get the gospel out to people. We need action. We need to speak to people about Jesus Christ. And it's only the gospel that will change people's hearts. We were out on Friday in East Belfast, knocking doors. And I knocked this door, me and another fella. And a wee girl came out, 11 o'clock in the morning, drunk. And she says, "What do you want?" And we said, "We're from the city mission." "Come on in," she said. "Come on in and talk to us." She was about 30. There's a man in the house, he's about 50. And he's drunk too, 11 o'clock in the morning. And they had four bottles of Old English cider sitting on the floor between them. And they were filling up their glass. "Do you want a drink?" she says. I said, "No, you're okay, thanks. You're fine." And he said, "You know when you get awkward people? There's really some people's hard to talk to." And he said, "I'm into Darwinianism." You know, I don't really think he knew what it meant. And they're awkward people to talk to. You know, people believe there's no God. So you get an awkward person like that. And then, of course, drunk people are awkward too, aren't they? So he was two rolled into one, a drunk evolutionist, and trying to talk to him about Jesus Christ. And, of course, he didn't really know what he was talking about, and he was talking about this thing and that thing. And me and the fellow with us just kept preaching the gospel to him, talked to him about Jesus Christ, talked to him about how much God loved him, talking about Jesus dying on the cross for him. An evolutionist and a drunk together, all rolled into one. And then it got worse. He said, "Come on in the kitchen a minute." And he took me into the kitchen on my own, and he said, "You know," he said, "I only lasted 15 months in the SAS. He said, "I couldn't stick it because of drink." I thought, he's a drunk evolutionist and a spoofer as well. all rolled into one. One of the most awkward people. Dead in sin. Blinded by sin. What can penetrate his heart? Some big idea that I can come up with? Some tablet that'll cure him of alcoholism? Some clever argument to confound his ideas about evolution? It's only the gospel. Nothing else. It's the power of the gospel. That's what will change people. That's what changes all of these people, this great crowd of witnesses that no one can count. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You know what it is today? It's a day of opportunity. The world is changed so much and changing every day. But it's a day of opportunity for Christians. It's not a day to be discouraged. It's not a day to shut up shop. It's not a day to lament and bemoan and say, "Look at the way things used to be. I remember when this place was full, and I remember when the Sunday school had 200 and 300. You know, if I've heard that once, I've heard it 1,000 times. But those days aren't here. This is a day of opportunity to mission and to evangelize and to speak about Jesus Christ for the Christian. It's a day for you and me, Christians, to get out and talk to people and witness to people and pray for people who are lost. Day of opportunity. And sometimes to get those opportunities, you have to put a lot of work in with people. It's like a woman we've been helping there recently, a woman from Somalia. Her name's Miriam, and a lovely woman. But she needed a lot of things done for her and a lot of time spent with her. And one day I had to sit outside the immigration office for nearly 4 hours waiting on her. And all the time we're praying for opportunities. We did all that and she got the help that she needed and she's so thankful. I said to her, Miriam, I'll let you settle down. Everybody wants to talk to you now and I'll come back and see you tomorrow. I went down to her house at night. Just her and the wee fella sitting on the settee in the house. I said, how you feeling, Miriam? Feel great, William. Feel so relieved. That's the first night's sleep I've had and so thankful. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what Stanley done. Thank you. I said, it's no problem. And she said, you know, my mother, she's in Somalia, and when I was detained the first time, I told her, and she just cried, and my sisters cried, and my family. And I told her, there's men in Belfast, they're going to help me. And her mother said to her, well, look, people will tell you, don't get close to Christians. They'll contaminate you. That's a good thing to do, isn't it? Contaminate people with Christianity. That'd be great. At least there's an epidemic. She says, but don't listen. If they're close to God, you stay close to them. She said, I phoned my mother there today and told her amazing things happen. My mother said, I told you, didn't I? Don't worry what people say about the Christians. If they're close to God, you stay close to them. I said, Miriam, why do you think we did what we did? Why do you think we did that? She says, to get a reward from God. I said, you're absolutely wrong, Miriam. I already have my reward. It's to love those who God loves. That's why we helped you. If you want to know why we helped you, read the Bible. Because you're not finding the answer anywhere else, Miriam. Only in the Bible. The wee fella sitting in the chair, just listening. And before I went to go home, he said, give us your number, would you? Give him a number. See, I got home. He sent me a message. He says, William, will you come and talk to me? I want to talk to you. Can I meet you? Opportunity. That's God at work. You know, you see me. I think I maybe told you this. A woman said to me one time, I'd like to help you. Do you have like a plan? I said, I do have a plan, absolutely. My plan is to never have a plan. That's my plan. Never have a plan. So sometimes we don't know what's going to happen. But God knows. God knows. And I tell you this, Christian, God can use you. You might think you're not much use for anything, but God can use you. And you're useful to God. And there's something amazing for you to do for an amazing cause that's greater than any cause or scheme that man can come up with. And find that out and do it to the best of your ability. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a Christian, all of this blessing, this washing of and made white in the blood of the Lamb, and the opportunity to be before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and for Jesus to lead you to fountains of living waters, and God Himself to wash away all tears from your eyes. You're denying yourself that by your unbelief, by your rejection of Jesus Christ. You're refusing all of this and much, much more. And maybe like my brother, you've got all these hobbies and causes that you do anything for. Maybe you're like that. Maybe you're a person who puts all your energies into causes and ideas and plans. The greatest cause of all, you have no time for. You have no interest in. Could I not encourage you today to taste and see that the Lord is good? To come to Jesus Christ. What a Savior. What a friend. Someone who loves you more than anybody loves you and has proved his love for you and died on the cross at Calvary. And he gives you another opportunity today, you who are not a Christian, to come to him and believe in him and be saved today. What will you do? You hear all these words and you've heard it before, and maybe if God wills, you'll hear it again. But today, if you refuse and reject it, it's another day wasted. Another opportunity gone. You know, where the little hall is, not just foreign nationals live all around there and we deal with. In that community, thousands of people. And they've lived their life without God. And they've lived their life without any need of the church or the mission hall. There was a bar across the road, the Kimberley Bar, and there's a band hall down the street, and there's a community house around the corner. And those are all the things that they gravitated to. And the church and the message meant nothing to them. You know what? I don't even hold it against them. I don't even blame them. It's not their fault. It's our fault. We didn't care about them enough to go to them. But people have cared about you, you who are not a Christian. People have prayed for you. People have taken interest in you. You can't say they didn't. And God is speaking to you again today. Come to me. I'll give you rest. So could I encourage you again, if you are a Christian, keep praying. Pray for us. Pray for tonight. God answers prayers all the time in wonderful ways. All the people who wanted to come to the little hall, some of them, they had children with prams and they couldn't get there. And we thought, it'd be great if we had a bus. Let's pray for a bus. And all the little women praying for a bus. And I'm thinking, I wonder how much a bus would cost. And one of the wee women said, you know, Ravenhill Presbyterian Church, they have a bus and they don't use it. So we phoned them up and they said, absolutely, you can have it every Sunday night and other times if you need it. Don't worry about the insurance. don't worry about taxing it. We'll take care of all those things. You just use it. God. All that we need for the cause of Christ, he'll give us. The things and the people we're praying for, he'll speak to them. Don't stop praying. Don't stop caring. Don't stop your efforts in the gospel. They're working and God is at work through you and in you. Don't lose hope. And one day we'll be part of this great multitude that no one could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues. We'll be there, lots of us will be there, Will you be there on that day? Will you be in this great community, this great multitude? Will you be part of it? Only if you've washed your robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's the only way to get there. No other way. So let's be thankful to God for all He's doing in our lives.